It's on, is it? Oh, good. Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. Good morning. I just want to run through one or two of the notices that we had earlier on, just for those that are listening and not being able to gather with us. On Tuesday, we've got our afternoon tea and craft day. If you're interested in going to that, contact Sue Kelly or Linda Thomas, and they'll tell you whether there's any tickets left. I think there is a few at the moment. On the 25th of September, we're going to the FIX conference. And that's something that we've attended every year, really, for the last few years. And it's a great event where people who have broken free from addiction through faith just give their stories, give their testimonies, and really encourage us in our journey of faith to freedom. It's a very powerful thing, and we're doing that on the 25th of September. Those of you who came on the training for drug and alcohol awareness, and those that are interested in mentoring, please let us know if you want to come, because it will be very inspirational for you to come along as well. See Steve and he will talk to you and put your name on the list. Our baptismal service is on the 12th of September. We do have quite a number of names, but we'll be contacting you just to tell you what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and what qualifies you to be baptized. Jed's going to run that course after the service on the 5th of September. So please make yourself available after church that morning. We want to see as many people baptized as possible. It's a step in your faith journey. It's a commitment going, I am following Jesus and I'm making this decision to do this. It's a very powerful thing to do, and we want to encourage you as much as we can to do that. Then we're starting with our recovery course on the 30th of September. You can start encouraging people to come along to that, those that are seeking freedom from addiction. It'll be slightly different than what we're used to in terms of the content, but it is aimed at setting people free through faith. And that's what we're all about here, isn't it? We're all about faith. So that'll be starting on the 30th of September, which is a Thursday evening. Right, thank you for that. I'm sorry you have to listen to that again, but here we go. So if I ask you a question this morning, is that all right? Are you awake? Well, some of us are awake, which is really good. Where are you going? I used to do a job, and we used to work with the police when I worked for the civil service, and we'd stop motorists on their way to where they were going and ask them where they were going. Where are you going? Just part of that introduction to the conversation. Where are you going in your car today, or your van, or your lorry? What are you doing, and where are you going? And they'd always tell us where they were going. I suppose if we found somebody in a car who didn't know where they were going, there'd be a bit of a problem, wouldn't there? Where are you going this morning? I don't know. And so in life, where are you going? What are you doing? What's your destination? Have you got any idea? Have you got something to aim for? Something that you are aiming your life towards? Or are you just going around in circles, so kind of, I don't know where I'm going really, I don't know what all this is about? Because many people do in life, they go around in circles going, what's all this about? And this morning I want to encourage you in your journey and your destination and how we add faith to that particular aspect of life. I suppose as Christians, if somebody says to you, where are you going? You go, I'm going to heaven. Okay, that's one destination that we're sure of. We are going to heaven. But there are a number of smaller destinations on the way. And I want to talk to you about those this morning. We are going to heaven. That place is guaranteed. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we can celebrate that. And we do that every week, don't we? We are going to heaven. That's our ultimate destination. But I just want to read a scripture, and I love this scripture, and I just want to read it to you. It's John 6, 16 to 21. If it sounds like I'm taking off, it's only Cooper down here or with an aeroplane. Don't worry about it. So this is the scripture in John. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. So have you ever been blown off course? Yeah. It's a nautical term, isn't it? It's talking about a boat going somewhere, but the weather taking hold of a boat and taking it to somewhere it didn't really want to go, or putting it into serious trouble. See, a boat usually has got all that it needs to survive the water. It's watertight, it's got engines or it's got sails, it's got a captain and a crew that know where they're going. They've got all navigational aids, but sometimes things happen and nature takes over and things can be blown off course or even shipwrecked. Now, some of you know that I had a bit of an experience like that a few weeks ago. I've got some pictures up here, hopefully. A sinking ship, yeah. It's coming. Right, can you see that? That was a boat that I went away on with Bob. Some of you will know Bob Grange, Lorraine Watson, who comes here regularly to minister. He's coming next month to minister as well. And we were going for a couple of days away together just to relax and enjoy one another's company. And we were setting off. We set off from Newark, which is on the River Trent, and we were sailing to Hull. We knew our destination. We knew where we were going. We had all the skills on board. I was there. What was there to panic about? We had a radio, we had navigational aids, we had life jackets, we had everything we needed, and we were sailing across down the Trent into the Humber, and we're going to get to Hull. But along the way, we developed a bit of a problem, and we started to sink. There's a couple of other pictures as well. Now, that boat is kind of leaning to one side. We grounded it. We had to ground the boat, otherwise we would have sunk. And we called out the emergency services who came to get us. And they were brilliant, actually. And none of us panicked, and we were safely taken to Hull. So we got to our destination, just not how we expected. And sometimes these things happen in life, don't they? We think we're going somewhere. We've got it all worked out. We know what life is about. We've got our little destination points, and then something happens, and it just knocks us. And I don't know what you're going through this morning, but maybe you're in one of those periods where you thought you were going somewhere, you got it all worked out, and something has happened, and it's just knocked you off course. And I want to encourage you this morning by just looking at this story and just helping us to put faith into it, to put Jesus into the situation. See, when we're going somewhere and we're well planned, and some people are better planned than others. I don't know, I can get up in the morning and just kind of make it through the day. Some people need to plan it. It's usually the men versus the women thing again, isn't it? I get up in the morning, I'm not worried what we're having for tea yet, because I have my breakfast. But some people want to know what they're having for breakfast, dinner, tea. They've got it all sorted out. And so we are different in the way that we approach life. But these things happen, and they kind of knock us, and they can leave us feeling frightened, desperate, unsure about where we're going to end up. And even as Christians, this happens to us, and we keep saying that over and over again, that just because we are Christians, we put our faith in God, doesn't mean that these storms will not happen. And they can leave us with doubt in our hearts sometimes about what's going on here, because I thought I was trusting in this God, and here I am in this situation, and I don't really understand why. Does it mean that my faith's not working? Does it mean that God's not working? Have I done something wrong? Do I deserve this? And so all these kind of thoughts are going through our minds, even as believers. And the question I want you to consider as we talk through the rest of what I've got to say is, have you invited Jesus into the boat? Have you invited Jesus into that situation that you're in? Have you asked him to come in and be with you? In the story that we read, Jesus had just fed 5,000 men, and that's one of the scriptures that's one of the stories that's found in all four Gospels. So we all know the story that Jesus fed 5,000 men. The disciples had experienced something miraculous that once again demonstrated the deity of God. In fact, in Matthew, it says they were going to take him. He perceived that they were going to take him and make him king, because they'd seen these miracles and they knew, they recognized something supernatural about him, and they wanted to take him and make him king. But he withdrew and he went on his own. But as part of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had challenged the faith of the disciples. They'd gone through the day, hadn't they? And people were getting weary at the end of the day. And the disciples said, everybody's getting a bit hungry now, as you would. Everybody's starting to grow a little bit faint. What can we do? So Jesus said, feed them. That was a bit of a challenge, wasn't it? He said, but we've got no money. We haven't got enough money to go and buy all that we need. And what he was trying to do in this situation was teach them how to look at something natural, but put supernatural things into place. And Jesus, he prayed over the loaves and the fishes, and he fed 5,000 people. So they just experienced all that. Then the disciples were in the boat. Jesus told them to go into the boat and sail across to Capernaum. So they were doing what they were told. They got in the boat and they were sailing across the sea. One of the signs of a true disciple is that we are obedient to all that God is asking us to do. We've got to listen and be obedient to his guidance, the way he wants us to live our lives, the things he wants us to do. We've got to be obedient. And so the disciples were. They were being good disciples. Jesus said, go. And so they went. And on the journey, they encountered this storm. Now, if anybody was skilled in dealing with a storm on a sea, it would have been the disciples, because they were by nature, or they were by employment, fishermen. And so they knew what they were doing when they were on the sea. They knew all the pitfalls. They knew all the things that they had to do to get through this storm. They were thinking like fishermen. They were thinking like they would do naturally. And so they applied all these skills to the situation, but still it wasn't enough. It was beyond their ability as fishermen. It was bigger than what they could handle on their own. And so often in life, we face situations and we think, oh, I can sort that out. Not a problem. I'll just do what I normally do and we'll be fine. But there are times in our lives when we do that and it doesn't work. It is beyond our ability. It's beyond our capability to actually deal with the situation that we find ourselves in. We cannot handle it on our own. And it says, Jesus appeared on the water. He walked on the water. We know the story of Jesus walking on the water. Now, they weren't expecting that, the disciples. It was a bit of a shock to them. In fact, it says that they thought it was a ghost, and they were in fear because Jesus just walked across the water, which would have been quite an experience, I would imagine. And in their humanity, they didn't recognize him. But Jesus identified himself. Be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid. It'll be all right now, I'm here. That's what he was saying. Don't worry, I'm here. It's me, it's me, it's Jesus. Do you recognize me? I'm here now, everything will be okay. And this is the story when Peter got out of the boat and walked to Jesus. He walked on water. And although they were afraid, and it was a stretching experience for them, it says they willingly invited Jesus into the boat. They invited Jesus into the situation because he could make a difference. They knew it was Jesus. They recognized him, and they knew that he could make a difference. They invited him into the boat. And so as believers, we've got to learn how to recognize Jesus and invite him into the situation. See, if we don't invite him in, he can't do anything for us. He may be stood on the sea. I don't know how long Jesus would have waited around if they'd said, oh, don't come in here. We don't want you in this boat. He may have just left them and gone away again. We don't know. But we've got to invite him into the situation for him to be God in our lives and help us through the situation. We can invite all kinds of people into our boats, but not all of them are Jesus. Not all of them can do the things that he does. We can invite friends in and colleagues. We can go to experts and invite them into the situation, but ultimately, it is Jesus who is going to make the difference. Because when he's with us, he brings peace. He puts peace in our hearts. And when we're going through tough times, when we're going through those stressful periods of life, the first thing that usually goes is our peace. We feel stressed, we feel unedged, unable to cope. But the moment we recognize that Jesus is with us and we invite him into a situation, he brings peace into our hearts. It says the storm was calmed. The moment Jesus was invited in, the storm that was there was calmed. We need to invite him in to calm the storm. And then it says this in John. It only says this in John. And if you read the stories in the New Testament from the different New Testament scriptures, this is the only one that says this. And it's a remarkable statement, and I've never heard anybody speak on it before. And it says they immediately reached their destination. Wow, what happened there? So they were in the middle of the sea, in this situation where they were really struggling. Jesus came, stood next to the boat. They said, come and get in. The storm was calmed, and they reached their destination. We don't know what would have happened if Jesus hadn't got in, whether they would ever have reached their destination. But there is something about inviting Jesus in that we get there, that we get to where he has decided or determined or commanded us to go. We get to where we are going. They immediately reach their destination. So how do we apply this to our hearts and lives? And when we speak here, we talk about having encounters with God, the reality of God living in us, the reality of God making a difference. And this is just a great example of how we apply the reality of God into our lives. Very often we have destinations. Some of them are our personal destinations, some of them are God destinations, because God places something in our heart and we want to travel with him. We want to go to those places that he wants us to go to. But something happens on the way. Our faith is disrupted a little bit, or our lives are disrupted, and we've got to ask God to come into that situation. Got to invite him in and let him deal with the storm, and then you will be at your destination. He will take you to where you are going. Let God blow on your paradigm, on your thinking when we're in these places, because we can only think like we do sometimes. And what we're asking God to do is through faith to help us to see things differently. So we invite him in and let him be the answer, not us. And so as we journey through life, as we have these destinations, as we aim for life, and those things get in the way that we can't understand, that we can't deal with, invite Jesus into that situation. Let him be your peace. Let him be the one that calms the storm. Let him be the one that takes you to your destination. So the question is, have you invited Jesus in? That's it. Be encouraged. Invite Jesus in. And that's quite a simple thing to do. We pray to Jesus and we just say, come help. When Peter was sinking, as he was walking on the water, he just cried, I'm sinking, help. And sometimes we have to make those prayers, just help me. Just come in right now and make a difference and bring that peace and that destiny that you have given to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Well, that brings us to the end of our service. I think we've got the offering box. We'll put that on the table there. So if you want to put something in the offering on your way out, you can do. That was a really good talk, Mark. My talk next week will follow on nicely from that. because I feel like I've been blown off, of course, just recently. So I'm going to share some personal stuff next week with you, just to hopefully encourage you. Because if I can go through it, I know probably the others out there. So have a great week this week. Should we close in prayer? Yeah. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are constantly about your business and that you are interested in every part of our lives, little and big, Father. So I pray this week, as we go about our day-to-day business, you'll be with us in all areas, Father, that you will encourage us, that you'll pour out your wisdom to us on a daily basis, and you will guide our feet and our hearts, Father. Bless everyone here this morning and those not here, and keep, bring us back safe next week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great morning, afternoon, and I'll see you all soon. Thank you.